God's prophet is angry, but not where God is angry. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. And here's Steve Brown with God's roadmap, the Bible. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the fourth chapter of Jonah. It's an incredible chapter. In fact, let me take a moment. It's very short, but it only has 11 verses. Let me read it to you. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Now, what was he angry about? Because the people of Nineveh were sinning? No. Because they didn't care about God? No. Because his message had been rejected? No. He was angry because he was successful. He was angry because they repented. He was angry because they weren't going to hell. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in thy country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Can you believe that? I mean, suicidal anger on the part of Jonah, God's servant. That just blows me away. Do you sometimes think they're pagans? They're going to get it. Can you believe what they're saying? Can you believe how they profane the name of God? Can you believe their blasphemy? They're going to get it. They're going to get it. And I'm going to be glad. How would you feel? I'm going to get in trouble. How would you feel if Barbara Streisand repented and became a Christian? Well, I don't know if I want her in my family. No, I'm just kidding around. But, you know, pick a person who just drives you nuts. The person who is a pagan, who says things that just make you angry. And don't you feel better inside when you think, well, God is just. He's going to balance those books. He may not do it on Thursday, but he's going to balance those books, and they're going to get it. I may have to go through hell to get to heaven, but they have to go through heaven, but they're going to get to hell. And listen, if you feel that way, repent. I just did. That's not the place where, and the reason Jonah is given to us in this text for this reason, and because it's so in your face, is that we see how terribly wrong he is. You know what my prayer is? Lord, teach me to cry where you cry, to be compassionate where you're compassionate, to reach out where you reach out. Notice what the text says about God. And by the way, this is his nature. Now, Jonah's not happy with it. Lord, wasn't this not what I said to you when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Oh, man, I tell you, there are times when I'm happy that we've got an angry God, and when it's directed at people who are not like me. When I'm glad that God is just, when his justice is directed at people who aren't like me. I repent. My prayer is, God, make me like Jesus. Teach me to reach out and to love and to be kind and to rejoice. They don't say, he said, that the angels rejoice when one lost lamb is found. We got to ask him to let us rejoice too. You think about that. Amen. Well, it's Wednesday, and at the end of the broadcast, I take some time to answer some questions. By the way, my pastor will be in on Friday, and he'll be joining me with some of these questions. But we always take Wednesday and Friday because we get so many questions. We get thousands and thousands, and we love to get your questions, but you do have to write them down send them to Key Light, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Light, Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylight.org with your regular mailing address. But don't use the 1-800 number, Key Light number, for questions. You got to write those down. You can make a contribution. You can get the Christmas Meditations booklet free, get the magazine free. You can become a part of the Key Light tape / CD family free. But you got to write your questions down. Hey, before I turn to these questions, just a reminder about our Food Pastors Conference, January 23rd through 25th. We tell about it a lot, but I want you to know this is a very serious purpose. I believe there's never been a time when pastors are more under attack than they are in our time. And pastors need pastors. And they need a soft place. And they need a place where nobody's going to judge and nobody's going to criticize. And where they can get people who go through the same things and tell war stories. We're providing a place. If you go to our website, we'll give you some information on it. Or you can call us 1-800-KEY-LIGHT if you're a pastor. Or you, in fact, you ought to be sending your pastor to this. It's January 23rd through the 25th. And it's called the Poop Pastors Conference. Actually, it's a little bit more serious than the title. But it is going to be a great and wonderful life-changing experience for your pastor. And if you would like to see that happen, you ought to just let us know. All right, let's get to some of these questions. What does the Bible teach about having a good marriage? I said last Wednesday that I'd say a little bit more about that, so let me do that. I was serious, though, when I said I'm going to write a book with two words in it about marriage. Don't leave. Just don't leave. Everything else is small stuff. Don't leave. But let me suggest also that the Bible is far more utilitarian than you think. You say what? Well, the Bible teaches that marriage is ordained by God, the basic social unit of any culture or any society, but it also teaches that it's for the benefit of the children, for the benefit of the husband and wife, and it's good for a culture. Now, when you start getting into the other things, the flowers and the music and the sunset, that's cool. And if you don't have that, that's no reason to leave. And it's no reason to think you're a failure. The Bible says, don't leave. Now, if you want to find some specifics on how to stay, read Ephesians 5. Find out how you're to love your wife, guys. Find out what you're to do in terms of your husband's leadership. Find out how you're to deal with children. Find out about anger. Find out how Christ loved the church, and find out that's how we're to love one another, and especially husbands are to love wives. There's a lot of teaching, and there's a lot of good stuff written on how to have a happy marriage. But it's better you have a good marriage, a solid one. Just don't leave, and God will bless that. You know, people are always telling me, you know, my husband just takes me for granted, or my wife just takes me for granted. That's a gift. I want my wife to take me for granted. You know, we've been married so long, we can't remember a time when we weren't married. And she knows that in all this world, she's got one person who will never turn his back on her, always support her, always stand with her, always be there. And I want you to know I feel the same way about her. I've been married to Anna so long, I don't remember not being married to her. And we have the flowers sometimes, and recently went to Jekyll Island, walked on the beach, and there was romance. But that's not what happens most of the time. Most of the time it's vacuuming the floor. Most of the time it's trying to keep it together and pay the bills. And we're not going to leave, and I take her for granted. Because I know that in all the world, there's one person who will never turn her back on me, who will always be for me, always, without exception. I take her for granted. She takes me for granted. It's not bad. It's utilitarian, but it's not bad, and it's a gift. So when you read a book and you think my marriage doesn't live up to that, I don't get all the warm fuzzies all the time, don't junk it. Sometimes you're not supposed to do that. Just don't leave, and God will bless your not leaving. Okay. This is from California, but I get a lot of this. Why, and I'm reading it the way the staff person would put it there, why do you use stories, illustrations, and humor in your teaching? Why don't you just stick to the Bible? Because I like stories better than the Bible. I like jokes better than Jesus. Are you kidding? That's not true. Do you know the reason I do that? Because that's what Jesus did. Elton Trueblood's book, The Humor of Christ, you ought to read. And when I'm using an illustration to teach the importance of illustration to my students, do I sound insecure here? At the seminary, I teach Jesus as the illustration of how to do it. And Jesus told parables, and he told stories, and he used humor, because that's the way human beings are made. Now, my jokes may not be very good, but I think they are. That's why I laugh at them. My stories may not be very good. They're certainly not as good as Jesus' stories, but I want you to know that that's the methodology of teaching preferred in the Bible. Richard Pratt, my colleague at the seminary where I teach, PhD from Harvard, I ran away from kindergarten. Richard wrote a book called He Gave Us Stories. So I do it because God does it. And God made penguins, after all. I mean, this is not a sour God. And he made my dogs. You want to see that? I know that he did. And I've said enough about this. I'm quite insecure. Please don't criticize me anymore. I mean, you could be responsible for my nervous breakdown. This is an email. How can some people be predestined for heaven and some not, even before they were born? How does that run consistent with free will? It doesn't. And anybody that tells you that it does just doesn't understand. How can you believe in free will and still make it consistent with the sovereignty of God? You can't. That's the nature of God. If you've got him pegged, if you've got him understood, he's not God, he's an idol, and you ought to quit your idolatry. If you don't stand before God and feel fear, you haven't stood before God. If you don't stand before God and feel loved, you haven't stood before God. If you don't stand before God and feel confused, you're worshiping an idol. I'll tell you what I'll do next Wednesday. I'll say a little bit more about that, because that's a lot more complicated than I'm making it. So next Wednesday, I promise. I got to get out of here. Include the call letters of the station when you write or call. And oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.